Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of.
And we dream such frightening things.
Sci-fi and Scream. Be afraid.
Be very afraid.
On Joy 94.9.
And this is episode number 83. Pull the strings, pull the strings. It's all about super marionation, the puppets that pulled us along when we were young, and maybe still young at heart, the fantastical jaw-dropping world of the Andersons, Jerry and Sylvia Anderson, that is. And that's what is in store for tonight's episode number 83 here on Sci-Fi and Scream. So welcome all to Sci-Fi and Scream. And thanks again to Keza and TJ from White Noise for another brilliant show. Now, of course, I'm sure some of you know that was the Thunderbirds. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But that's a superb piece of music, the Thunderbirds. And that was done by the wonderful Prague Philharmonic Orchestra. I must say, they've done a sterling job. And that's from a cult TV CD that I have here. And it does bring me another thrill. And the thrill is having my special guest here, Vasco Myers Esquire. It's a thrill to have you here. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Thrice nay. It's my thrill to be here. Thank you for allowing me into your special sci-fi space.
Special
tonight.
Space from outer space. Mm-hmm. Here we are. So welcome back to Sci-Fi and Scream. Now, it's great to have you here to help me follow the thread and pull the threads.
Yes.
We can be...
Pull the strings.
And for those who don't know, that is a reference to the wonderful Glenn or Glenda, the director Ed Wood, who did Plan 9 from Outer Space.
That's right.
Of course.
How can we forget those tacky sci-fi classics?
They are, with the trees that fall over and
painted paper plates as not aeroplanes.
UFOs.
Thank you.
Were they paper plates?
His girlfriend painted them in the privy of their kitchen.
Ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Later.
Well,
on.
That's a whole show on its
that's
own.
That's an episode we must do one day.
I'm there.
He's here. Well, he is. Vasco's here.
I am.
And on tonight's show on Sci-Fi and Scream. I don't know why, but if you are going to Armageddon this weekend, which is another convention that's coming up, a very big, popular one, the people from The Lone Gunman, which was one of Chris Carter's spin-offs, are going to be appearing.
Oh.
There you go.
Very exciting.
Short-lived TV series, but nonetheless.
There seem to be quite a few little things happening.
A lot of little things we can talk about a bit later.
Yes, all right.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I'm looking at you and thinking, beautiful, beautiful.
Naturally,
and
of course.
Of course I am.
What else would you be thinking looking
because
at?
Because we're going to, yes, look at Super Marionation.
Indeed.
What it was called.
Indeed.
Oh. Now, before you do start.
Here we go.
Tell us a little bit about this track.
Well,
Fireball.
This is Fireball, and it was, I'll never forget my first time, like lying spent on the floor and naked after someone's peeled away my hitherto veil of innocence, wrenching open a portal to a whole new dimension. My eyes widened and rolled back as if in seizure. My body rigid. Ooh. I was astonished that anything like this was even remotely achievable. I'm talking about not only Fireball, Sonia, I'm talking about Supercar, Fireball XL5, Stingray, Thunderbirds, everyone knows, Captain Scarlet and the Mysterions.
And these are Joe 90. And Jerry did these.
And the Secret Service. They certainly did, all employing a process called supermarionation. Joysters, if you crave action. Adventure, danger, stealth, romance, heroism, car chases, thrills, chills, and explosion. Then Jerry and Sylvia Anderson's Super Marionation is where it's at for you.
I used to love the way they would cut away from the puppet heads and characters.
They have actually
to real hands.
To real hands. I
know.
Doing
the driving,
you weren't
or whatever.
Quite meant to notice that, but you do. There have been people that have imitated the process. Most recently, the 200th episode of Stargate SGI featured a a segment done in the Super Marination style. Now, this dynamic duo of Jerry and Sylvia Anderson, they actually birthed a series of children's shows unlike anything seen before or since, Sonia.
Yes, I can believe that, apart from Team America.
Apart from Team America, which I think was a homage, really.
It was,
because
yes,
there was a very Lady Penelope-esque like character.
And who can forget? I mean, I just thought it was brilliant. It did hark back to that.
I like the bit. It's a standout favourite, and I seem to remember it all the time. Puppets were humping. Do you remember that bit?
No, I don't. Oh, vaguely.
Team America, and
didn't they explode?
They didn't have any genitals, which was quite interesting. They were kind of just pushing humping together.
It was family viewing, wasn't it?
Anyway,
to your.
I digress.
You do.
Do forgive
Doesn't
me.
Doesn't help when I'm talking.
No, well. Let's just keep talking then, because it is radio. Super Marionation, whereby skillful science deceived the eye and nothing was as it appeared to be.
And Super Marionation is a portmanteau of super and marionette. And animation.
Exactly, exactly.
It's a puppetry technique devised in the 60s by AP Films.
That's right.
Okay. And it was used extensively by Jerry and Sylvia Anderson for Thunderbirds, as you mentioned. But I believe that it was coined, what I've discovered, it was coined by Jerry Anderson in imitation to Dynamation by Ray Harryhausen's stop-motion technique.
That's right. A little interesting bit of trivia. Jerry Anderson actually didn't like puppets, and still to this day, he doesn't like puppets.
So they're still
He desperately wanted to do live action things, but the puppets came along and...
From where?
From his imagination? From the inner depths of his psyche, obviously bursting with creativity. The puppets came along and people that were making live action movies were actually using the Andersons to do their sequences of explosions and things like, because they were so good at making models, you see.
I see.
Well, correctly mentioned, the stars of Super Marionation are indeed man-made puppets that had become and have and still are well-loved throughout the world. They were fashioned from fiberglass and made almost alive by painstaking artistry. Super Marionation brought the age-old puppetry art... The art of puppetry, Sonia, truly into the 20th
century. It did, and to life. They were so real, and they had real personalities.
And they could speak, these puppets of tomorrow.
They did. And they
just like human beings.
Today. And I'm going to say this word before we go to our first break.
Especially human beings on some sort of strange drug.
No, that's a long word. That's a sentence, actually. But no, I'm going to say this word, and we'll come back to it in a moment or two.
Yes.
Solenoid. Solenoid. No, can't say anything
more than
that.
I'm excited about that. I'm tethered with excitement.
You are. I'm pulling your string as we speak.
Pull the string.
We'll be back shortly. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam. We're doing puppets tonight. Super Marionation with Vasco Myers and myself. Stay tuned on Joy 94.9.
Hi there, this is Anna Silk, and I play Bo on Lost Girl. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Dilip Brown, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Get it.
Get it indeed. get it. That was Dilip Rao, of course, who's most famous for being a mad scientist in films like Inception. But anyway, bit of more digression there. Oh, I'm loving this.
Oh, it's groovy.
Is this Stingray? Joe 90?
I think it's Joe 90.
I think you're right.
Now, listen, let's recap a little bit. Let's back up. A magnet was fixed to the back of the heads of these little puppets.
This is solenoid.
Yes. Now, solenoid. They received electric impulses which moved the automaton's lips in perfect sync to the words they were speaking. So even though they still had like the strings, and in some scenes you can see those black strings moving around.
I always ignored those.
I did wonder how their little... Yeah, I did too. They just took away from the magic.
No, I'm just going to ignore them.
But their lips seemed to... And I used to wonder, well, how do their lips move? You know, because you can't see a hand shoved in the back of their head. So it was a little electronic receiver, which I think for 1960 was quite groovy.
It's a coil, actually. It's a coil that's wound.
There you go.
And I couldn't relate to this, in a tightly packed helix. Now, in physics term, that's science, people, science, the term solenoid refers to a long, thin loop of wire, often wrapped around a metallic core, which produces a magnetic field electric current is passed through it.
IUDs.
I am thinking those too.
Why did I think that?
Maybe it's a generational thing.
What type of mind have I got?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, the completed...
So they create a controlled magnetic field. So that was very useful for getting the... And did you know at the beginning of the era of super marination, the heads were very big. But then later on, moving through to
they became
smaller because they put the solenoids, that's, magnet things in the chest cavity. So it was like their heart.
And there are quite... a lot of characters within that family of super marionation. It's quite amazing. When I was doing my research for this, it was actually...
All of 10 minutes worth.
Well, it's 10 minutes out of my life. I'll never get back. Thank you very much. I was thinking, it's just amazing the level of detail. I mean, these things were perfect down to the very last detail. They were then, once they had the little electronic gizzos fitted to them, they were handed to like expert puppeteers who brought the dolls to life on 60s televisions and still to this very day. Now, back in the day, Sonia, teams...
Before Tuesday the 18th, in fact.
Back in the day, teams of nearly 100 technicians, film persons and artists were kept fully occupied by Jerry and Sylvie and Sylvia Anderson's enterprise, occupied producing a different 60-minute film every week, right up until 68, 69.
Did they ever get electric shocks? I'm just wondering. Sorry.
Were the puppets made of... They were made of fiberglass.
Yes, so they probably would be grounded and quite safe, I should mention.
Well, I don't know. There was plenty of water and electricity in those little models sometimes, you know, oceans and things exploding. It must have been... But what fascinates me more than back then, I suppose, because I'm a little bit older, I just think everything those things used had to be created and made to scale. They had up to 100 artisans producing a 60-minute show. They couldn't do that today.
It's too expensive.
The cost would just blow out. Now, each episode, as I say, done using perfectly scaled models. Everything joysters, from atomic airliners right through to puppet-sized props, costumes. But the thing I really liked was it had a purposefully scored accompanying soundtrack to each show.
And, which brings me to the next part. I'm going to play again
from
the wonderful
world.
Excuse us.
We're so excited. We can barely get the words out. It's super marionation.
It is. It's definitely something to do with the imagination. And this is Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons.
Please.
I always thought it was the Mysterions, but that's
just me. Well, I pronounce it the Mysterions.
Now, the composer is wonderful Barry Gray. I think he composed all of the Andersons' wonderful soundtracks.
And the soundtracks are pretty groovy.
But in this case, this is a cover done by our friends, the wonderful...
Dolly Parton.
Prague... Philharmonic Orchestra, but you knew that. So here we go. Here's a little bit of Barry Gray with his friends.
I might accompany them on my oboe. I'll just get that out.
And this is Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
A moment or two more, and you will be the first live Earth people ever to enter a celestial ship.
This is Paul Cornell on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Oscar Hillstrom, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Returning, Sci-Fi and Squeam returns here, and I'm joined with Vasco, of course, and we're doing everything we can to put the puppets, back in power. And I'm not sure if we've been very successful, but
now,
we are trying.
You mentioned earlier Team America. That was actually... I love this song.
That was actually
Team America World Police, and it was made as a tribute to the Thunderbirds.
By the South Park guys.
But they were very naughty. They called it Super Crappy Mation, which was meant to parody what they called the silliness of marionettes. Now, I don't think
But they made a whole movie out of it, so they must love it.
Yeah, I don't think marionettes are silly. I beg to differ.
That's Trey Stone, and what's the other fella's name?
What can you expect from someone that wore a J-Lo Versace dress to the Academy Awards one year? God bless them.
So we've got Armageddon this week, everybody. So that's 22nd to 23rd. And then after that, on October the 30th, you've got this one. And it is A Warehouse in Eureka. It's a play on words because it's Warehouse 13. All the folks from that are coming over, most of them. And the people from the other sci-fi TV show, also on the Sci-Fi Network.
It's a veritable Eureka. Plethora of existential.
It is, and
extraterrestrial.
You can meet, your favourite agent,
Agog.
Latimer.
I'm agog at the choice.
I'm wondering too. Eddie McClintock. Eddie McClintock's going to be there.
Is he?
Yes.
God bless him.
He's
bless
a dear
Eddie.
Boy. We call him Agent Latimer.
Now, time for a flashback. Put
Don't
on your
forget,
space
wait a second,
suits.
Wait a second.
Oh,
hang email on. Address.
I got all excited.
You did. Got carried away, and you will be in a second.
I preempted you.
Now you were so saying something
now,
certainly
heading
special.
Back to 1960, way before apps even existed. The yes. place, Sonia, London, England. Supercar evidenced the debut of supermarionation.
And what was Supercar?
Supercar was a black and white little it was
TV
first
show.
Jerry and Sylvia Anderson.
It's a geriatric.
Jerry, well, they are now. The first.
Who pulls their strings?
Jerry, no one anymore, I don't
think.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. There are a few fetishes out there that like wrinkly
and
sex.
Nurse.
Anyway, I digress yet again. Supercar evidenced the debut. I'm going to get this out. Debut of Super Marionation, an electronic system that made marionettes, as we have said time and again, appear more lifelike. During 61... the Andersons established AP Films, as you mentioned earlier, an
yes.
organisation that proved to be a world leader, Joysters, in the field of super marionation. Now, Jerry and Sylvia licensed a huge
range. We're going to say licensed to kill.
They were. They were licensed to kill.
Because there was a James Bond influence there too, wasn't there? But we'll talk about that.
Well, it's Lady Penelope.
Yes,
was
I want to
created
talk about her later.
As the female James Bond. She was very ahead of her time.
Mm.
But anyway, they licensed a huge range of toys, books, magazines and related ephemera, the originals of which are worth quite a lot of money these days. So if you take a little walk through eBay, you'll find virtual walk through eBay. Well, yes, you can't walk through it. Anyway, early 60s witnessed other revolutionary super marionation projects. Sonia, 62, the futuristic space adventure Fireball XL5.
Ooh.
Then the seminal for Thunderbirds, of course, from 63 to 64, Stingray, which
yes.
was the first British children's series filmed in colour. Now, that happened in...
Before Doctor Who.
Before... No, Doctor Who had already started.
Not in colour.
No, oh, well, no. God, no. He was still very much black and white.
Wasn't he?
Happened in 64.
He had strings, though, I'm sure.
Then, somewhere, in 67, which, by the way, was the same year that Gerry Anderson Jr. came into the world.
Oh,
so did Captain
poppet.
Scarlet and now
poppet.
The Mr. Rons. Newborns, they can't hold up their little heads, you know. They need to
Do you
to
think
be
he had
supported.
A solenoid put in there?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in interviews, so I can't say. But he seems coherent.
He exists.
Mm. Anyway, Captain Scarlet and the... Now, Mysterons, Mysterions, if you want to SMS in and let us know the correct pronunciation, because I don't know. Now, they hit the TV series in the 60s. Very groovy and sexy Joe 90. I thought he was quite attractive, but a lot of people weren't turned on by Joe 90.
Puppet nerd. Do you think he was the first puppet nerd?
Yeah, but he was sexy.
Before Brains?
But he was sexy. No, because
you didn't
he,
like Brains
well,
and
he,
Thunderbirds.
Brains was before Joe 90. Joe 90 came in 68. He was quite late.
Okay, he was quite
And
late.
Thunderbirds, really, I was surprised because they seemed to went on and on and on and on. But they only lasted from 63 to 64. So the production time wasn't... Well, they weren't. The show wasn't in production for that long, but it seemed to be for years and years. Yes, Joyce, to say pulpy plots.
Oh, dear.
Retro-styled rockets.
Are they your song?
Politically incorrect characters and situations. The FAB world of Super Mario Nation has it all. Now, let's listen to Sylvia Anderson, shall we? Who shares her thoughts about the recent live-action version of Thunderbirds. Now, Sylvia did create Lady Penelope.
Here she is.
From the fans and from other people connected with the series, which I won't be named by me, who weren't fair to it. And I think they did a very good job. So about the future, I don't know, is the answer. I don't know.
We can only continue to enjoy the wonderful series you've already given us. Thank you so much for your time today. We're going to let you go and meet even more fans, and just it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
I'm James Griffin from the TV show The Almighty Johnson. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9.
Oh, she is divine. She sounds like Lady Penelope, well, even then.
Well,
that was old,
it's
too.
It's remarkable. Well, her mother was a dressmaker, and she used to design all the Lady Penelope clothes. Ooh. And she used to have matching outfits made, because when she had to do personal appearances for the Thunderbirds and take Lady Penelope with her, they'd appear in matching outfits. And, of course, Lady Penelope was very sophisticated. She used to smoke. She had,
which is bad, people, bad. Well,
she's probably got a carcinogenic little plastic lung in there somewhere now.
Oh, you're trying to turn me off.
Or on gimp more sex. Off. Gimp sex. Some people are into that. The helplessness of it all, apparently. I don't know. I read it in a DSM-6 once.
Oh, I don't know. Is that another puppet show?
I digress.
But I've got some Lady Penelope here, actually.
Oh, you have?
Yes. I've got Lady Penelope and her best, her most loyal, trusting servant.
Parker.
It's very... It's not politically. It's not politically correct.
Well, thank God,
having a servant. But here she is. Here's
her manservant.
Here's Lady Penelope and Parker from the Thunderbirds, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy and 94.9.
I'll just settle back with my hot cocoa.
Oh, that's lovely. Can you fetch my slippers, please, Vasco?
I will.
Hi, Pollyanna McIntosh. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Yes, what a beautiful voice, both of them. Yes, Sylvia Anderson, who played Lady Penelope Crichton...
Jones.
I think it's Ward. We better look that up.
But Jones sounded good.
It did. It sounded
and it
a bit...
sprung to mind
it
first.
It sprung
so I
from
said
you,
it.
Didn't it?
It sprung
from...
And now,
that was
Mark...
Pollyanna McIntosh with that lovely tag. Very
now,
nice.
Marcus from South Melbourne has sent in an SMS. Oh. Tintin, what's up with her? What or who was she really doing on Tracy Island?
This is the Thunderbirds, Tintin.
This is the Thunderbirds, Tintin. She was a little an Asian character that decorated Tracy Island. I don't know quite what she did either. She just kind of fluffed around, didn't she?
She made cocktails,
so,
I believe.
Marcus from South Melbourne. I don't know what Tintin
did.
She was decorative, and she did go on an adventure with Lady Penelope once into the snowy Alps, and Penelope had to pretend to be a cocktail singer. It was quite funny.
Cliff Richard also appeared on the Thunderbirds.
Yes, and the Shadows.
And the Shadows.
Yes. Several times
the Shadows. The performance was a bit wooden.
Just a touch. A bit far. A bit
just
plastic.
A bit Dutch. Mm.
Plastic in delivery.
But wow. She was, in fact, a British weekly comic for girls, which ran from 1966 to 69, I found out. Was marketed as the comic for girls.
It's part of their merchandising.
Who love television.
Yes, that's right.
It actually said on the cover, for girls who love TV.
I have...
Isn't that great?
I have in my Barbie collection a reworked Barbie made over to look like Lady Penelope.
Oh,
No. She looks plastic surgery on Barbie. Can you believe it?
It worked. Yes.
She does look Lady Penelope-ish.
Does she have the eyes?
She's got the eyes. She's got the cigarette holder.
It's not correct, is it?
But, you know, it's not Lady Penelope, though.
No, I was right. Lady Penelope Crichton hyphen Ward.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't you love those hyphenated English names, especially when it's part of a super marination lady? And her early life, apparently, she was born Christmas Eve, 2039.
My God.
So she's in the future.
Well, it's all set in the future.
Now, she was a 26-year-old when she first appeared on the scene, and was the daughter of the aristocrat Sir Hugh Crichton Ward and his wife, Amelia.
You know quite a lot about this, don't you?
I really quite
You've
liked it.
You've made a forensic study of Lady
Penelope. I know, it was a bit disturbing.
It's surprising how many people have told me they've had a thing for Lady Penelope, because she is only a doll, after all. She's not
how
even real.
Dare you.
I know, well... But then
there is
that particular fetish where people fall in love with dolls.
I don't know about that.
I saw it on Foxtel and one of the channels there.
Must be true, then.
And it was true. There were these people that buy life-size dolls and have relationships with them.
Now, did you know that she actually was a world-renowned supermodel as well?
Yes. She's everything.
And she went to an exclusive boarding school, of course.
That explains a
lot. She was elected as head girl. She finishing school was in Switzerland, naturally.
Mm.
And she became skilled at skiing, as you mentioned before.
Yes, in fact.
A linguist.
And is there anything she doesn't do?
She could speak German, French and Italian, just like a native French or Italian. Yes, she's very high society, but she worked as a chief operative of the Federal Agents Bureau. Of course, that's how she first met Jeff Tracy, who was the founder of the International Rescue. Now, he invited her to become one of their agents and based in London, of course, but she had to get help, and that was where Parker came along. Pretty much FAB1, she was FAB1 with her iconic six-wheeled pink Rolls-Royce, and that was her trademark, was the pink Rolls, I think. But it was also had bulletproof glass and enough room for her water skis. Because she loved water skiing too. Very, very sporty person.
Multi-talented.
Multifaceted.
Lady Penelope. And probably, I like Lady Penelope made a brief cameo in an Ab Fab episode.
She did. It was called...
Jennifer was going under. And for her little operation, because her acupuncture needle had...
It was called
Lost in
Hospital.
It was very,
it was
very good.
It was called Hospital. Now, of course...
We've got Parker. We've got Brains working
there's
on
also
the
an Brains is actually doing the research tonight. I've had him in. He's I've dusted off his fiberglass.
I used to find him unusually attractive.
It's the nerd thing.
I think so.
And the physical similarity.
These days in the 21st century seems to be quite the thing, the nerd look.
Yeah, the nerd look. Now, there's also an Australian connection with Lady Penelope. Did you know that she owned a property in a place, sheep station?
She must be so rich.
It was called Bonga Bonga. And it was set...
Bonga Bonga.
Yes. Australian outback, where it had 200,007 sheep. It had an open-plan lounge.
Did we ever see that in the Thunderbirds?
I remember it.
No.
It looked dry.
Very dry.
Very dry, and the trees looked a bit
100 artisans put that together, my girl.
Lots of glue.
Lots of glue.
And, of course, Aloysius Nosey Parker.
Lots of going down
to Bognor
Regis and bringing back sand.
Now, he was born... In May 2003, actually, from a long line of Cockney retainers who've looked after the British aristocracy for centuries. There you go. So that was Aloysius Parker, or Nosey Parker. Don't be so nosy.
He was actually based on one of the original business partners of AP Films.
Really?
Yes, because I saw an interview where he was being interviewed and he looks and sounds just like Parker, except in human form.
He didn't have strings that we know of.
No, not that I could see.
Look, it's...
But then his English, they're pretty kinky.
Well, look...
maybe something was tied up.
Maybe something will be tied up in a moment.
And gagged.
We will be back shortly, and we've got more music and more news and some special announcements to make too tonight on Sci-Fi and Squeam with Vesco and Sonia on Joy 94.9.
Hi, my name is Gareth Edwards. I'm the director of Monsters. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
It is indeed. It is Sci-Fi and Squeam, and this is Joy 94. Where do we get up to? I mean, we are going to have to probably move along shortly because there's other announcements to make. And that was the theme from Stingray, brought again by the wonderful Prague Philharmonic Orchestra. And I must say,
Thank God for the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra.
I know. I don't think we would be able to do the show without them. I'll have to email them
that
later.
That was delivered with verve, vitality.
And live.
Live here in the Stardust Studios
almost,
of Joy.
Yes.
Up on level 9.
You were going to say something about
Stingray. Somewhere in Bourke Street.
Weren't you?
Yes, I was, darling.
Yes, what was it?
Well, it was a highly sophisticated combat submarine, Sonia. Built for speed and manoeuvrability.
And Marina. Wasn't she lovely?
Marina.
Yeah, I'm turning your mic off now.
There's a beautiful song. Don't get me going.
Does anybody else know the song?
Aquamarina. Stingray was the flagship, Sonia, for the World Aquanaut Society Patrol, otherwise known as WASP, a 21st century security organisation based at Marineville in the year 2065. This is what I like about the Anderson stuff, you know.
Yes.
It was so futuristic.
It was.
Yet not threatening. It wouldn't keep the kiddies up at night with nightmares. Not really. Because it had that safety of, like, that cartoon-like, so you know that
and
it's
they were
fake.
Going to save the world.
Yet somehow...
You know?
real enough to suspend disbelief for
suspend
half an
was
hour.
The word.
Oh, thank you.
Now, we're going to have to leave behind our Super Merry Nation discussion, which is a bit sad because when you start thinking about them, you realise, you know, the closeness of them. You just want to reach out and touch one.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel that fiberglass warmth. That fiberglass warmth in your hands.
Mm, and the strings and the solenoid beating in your in their chest.
Mm.
But I digress because as the world turns and it spins, this planet, we are part of it. We're all part of it here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, and it is great to have Vasco here, myself here, of course,
of
pulling
course.
The strings.
Naturally. Pulling the string.
Got some wonderful news, and maybe some people have already heard, but for those of you who haven't, the wonderful and exciting news that came a couple of days ago, 16th of October, and that was the announcement from one of our favourite superheroes, anti-superheroes as the case may be. Yes, it was the self-outing of actor Zachary Quinto, a.k.a. Heroes, the TV series Heroes, antithesis of all good things, Gabriel Grey or Sylar, but also now as a rebooted younger and tougher version of our favourite Vulcan, impenetrable and very analytical Dr. Spock.
I would have said inscrutable.
From 2009.
Inscrutable.
Right, well, I wrote this.
Impenetrable. I'm sure he was penetrable sometimes.
Yeah, with Zoe Saldana he was.
Was he?
Now, yes.
Oh, yes.
Uhuru.
They were having a little
thing.
Thing.
An intergalactic thing.
I've got the 3 Star Trek dolls in my Barbie collection.
Good for you.
I thought you'd be thrilled.
What a show-off.
And I felt pressed to share that
with
you.
Yeah, thanks. Now, Zachary Quinto, he grew up in Pittsburgh, and he began performing and studying there as a kid. But what started as a hobby, obviously acting he means, evolved into a vocation. He's best known as Sylar, of course, the super-powered psychopathic serial killer on the NBC smash hit of Heroes.
I like the sound of that.
And in 2009, he was in the blockbuster Star Trek reboot franchise directed by Lost's J.J. Abrams. He lives in L.A. and pretty much what he has said on his blog website in the last couple of days is being very moving. And so this is a quote from that. When he found out, or I'll just read it. When I found out that Jamie Rodmire killed himself, I felt deeply troubled. But when I found out that Jamie Rodmire had made an It Gets Better video only months before taking his own life, I felt indescribable despair. He goes on to say, I also made an It Gets Better video too. In the wake of the senseless and tragic gay teen suicides that were sweeping the nation, this is in the US, and in light of Jamie's death, it became clear to me in an instant that living a gay life without publicly acknowledging it is simply not enough to make any significant contribution to the immense work that lies ahead on the road to complete equality. He goes on to say our society needs to recognize the unstoppable momentum toward unequivocal civil equality for every gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgendered citizen of this country. Again, he refers obviously to the US. He goes on to say as well, we are at the precipice of great transformation within our culture and government, and I believe in the power of intention to change the landscape of our society, and it is my intention to live an authentic life of compassion and integrity. Now I can only hope to serve as the same catalyst for even one other person in this world. That, I believe, is all that we can ask for ourselves and of each other. I think those are beautiful words from a very brave and a very intelligent individual, not just as an actor, but as a writer and a producer that he is. Zachary Quinto, Sci-Fi and Squeam salutes you in the Vulcan tradition, and we say congratulations on your stand and commitment and coming out, and I know that many of your fans out there who are listening, hopefully, will also feel very much the same. We wish you luck and kia kaha to you, and you've proven that you can boldly go. Very few have gone before.
Where very few would dare.
This would dare.
Definitely is going to have some economic repercussion on his career, the parts that he'll get, because really...
Or it may not. I mean, he's supposed to be in 2012's the sequel by J.J. Abrams for Star Trek.
That will happen for continuity's sake.
Yes.
But I really, from what I understand, it still is quite a homophobic town, Hollywood.
Yeah. And it's really, all underground and
yes,
closeted.
Exactly. And if you come out in such an open way, it really is going to impact on the type of... That's why Ellen went into a talk show. Because, hey, presto, hello everyone, I'm a lesbian and look what happened. banned, canned.
Yeah, no, she had so, to talk.
So she had to have a little
she
talk.
To have a bit of a talk.
Well, it was a bit of a time in the wilderness for her there after she came out. So,
but that's
it is
the reality,
a brave
isn't
thing.
It? It's is a brave very thing. Brave, and I think a lot of people who are also involved in fanfic, who for ages, for decades now, have been going on about Dr. Spock and is their relationship in the fictional online world of Spock and Kirk, and it's pretty interesting and unusual that in the real world, a real person who plays this fictional character is actually gay. I think there's a lot of people going off
it
on that one.
It will be very interesting to see if they make the Spock character bisexual or something.
He wants to. Abrams wants to, but I believe the studios are still saying, let's keep it straight, even though it's set in the future and anything could happen.
Yeah,
the fluidity.
They're obviously trying to appeal to as broad a demographic as possible.
Broad's the word. And not in a good way. Well, look, we're going to have to wrap up shortly. We'll
or
come
is that
back.
Broad demographic?
We'll be back in a shortly time. This is Sonia and Vasco, and you're listening to coming to the end of another episode of Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Returning here, Sci-Fi and Squeam. Yes, congratulations, Alex. And we're just going to wrap up for the evening for Sci-Fi and Squeam, because next week it's all about Armageddon. Yeah. Armageddon is coming. It's the Armageddon Expo, so you can go to armageddonexpo.com.au, or you can head to our Facebook, facebook.com/Sci-Fi and Squeam, or head to the blog address, which is scifiandsqueam.blogspot.com.
Where you've got that lovely picture of
That's
Kirk
right. The fictional fanfic version of the lovers, if they were lovers,
I'd
Spock and Kirk.
I'd love to print that out and hang that up on the wall. It's fantastic, that little...
So, October the 22nd to the 23rd of this month, of course, that's next weekend, is when Armageddon's on at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre. So R.M. Radcliffe and myself, Mr. Robert Radcliffe, will return on the 25th of next week, next Tuesday night. We're going to bring you, hopefully, as many entertaining little sound bites, vox pops, and interviews with people like Nicholas Brendan from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, wow.
Argam Dashi and Robin Dunn from Sanctuary.
No,
but it's more. But there's more. The seventh Doctor Who, Sylvester McCoy.
My God. Mon Dieu.
Oh, dear. Robert Picardo from Star Trek Voyager and Stargate Atlantis.
C'est fantastique.
The Lone Gunman from the Chris Carter-produced cult TV show that was
Incroyable.
Mark Shepard from BSG. And Supernatural and Doctor Who, and plenty of other comic artists like Fred Van Lente from Marvel and Frank Cho and heaps more.
Stop it, my ears are bleeding.
Yes, I noticed that earlier, but I didn't want to say anything because it's equal opportunity and all that.
Well, that's right.
And that's next week on Sci-Fi and Squeam, and up next we've got Salt and Pepper with Pete Dillon and Serena Ryan on Joy 94.9, but I just want to say... thank you so much for coming into the studio,
Vasco. I always like to come in and play with you. It's so much fun.
And I'm dreaming of a Lady Penelope for Christmas in my stocking.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Well, we might be able to do something about that.
Something with a bit of, I don't know,
something
fiberglass?
With a long cigarette holder.
Just a long cigarette holder. Mm. No, we don't condone that.
Oh, no. Well, it was 1960.
It was.
Everyone was doing it back then.
Now I'm just going to go out with a little bit of a track here, and it is Legends of the Superheroes, because there's going to be a lot of superheroes coming up next week on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Oh. Thank you again, Vasco, for your super marination.
Does the cavalcade of sci-fi ever stop with this show?
I hope not.
I don't think so.
All right. Stay tuned to Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening.
God help us in the future.
Sci-fi.
Sci-Fi and Squeam was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Squeam, or check out joy.org.au.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.